Jaden has $1 bill, one quarter, and two pennies. How much money does he have? Jaden broke.
This is the Small Business Answer Show, SBA. I'm Scott Sailors with Jason Culver and Will Sailors. Let's get started. Big breaking news at the Small Business Answer Show. We've got a lot to go over today, and we've got great news. Congress has passed the $900 billion COVID relief package, extension of the CARES Act. We're talking about a major relief package for small businesses in America. We'd like to think we made the announcement here first in the studio. Jason, there's Will. They both studied the congressional update extensively, and we're going to go through that and get you as much information as we can at this early stage. And away we go. Jason, Will.
So we've been awaiting this package now for a while, and from what I understand, it was 5,500 pages long, and we're finally starting to uncover some of the items that were in there, and it ended up being a pretty big deal for small business owners, particularly who have government loans, 7A, SBA 504, things along that line. And the big win for small business owners in there is going to be the free payments that borrowers are going to get on their existing 504 loans and newly approved loans.
Yeah. In 2020, everybody with a SBA guaranteed loan, 504, 7A Express, got 6 months of free payments. And in this new bill, looks like they're going to extend that for another three payments starting in February. And then for the hardest hit industries, restaurants, hotels, I would imagine theaters as well, things in those hard hit industries, they're going to get an extra five. So you're looking at a total of 8 months of payments for them.
This is huge, including restaurants.
Yep, including restaurants.
And you say February, the February 1st payment would then be paid through the CARES Act.
Yep, through the CARES Act. So they would not see a debit out of their account.
Newsflash, big newsflash.
Yeah, the $900 billion, they were able to pencil some of that money in for the small business owners, and a big chunk of that $900 billion is going to go to PPP loans. So businesses are going to get relief on the free payments on their government loans, and then along with supported payroll action by the government through those PPP loans.
This is big.
Yeah. Some other big news in there. You know, the first round of CARES Act was mostly about the PPP and about the free payments. This round of CARES Act has some interesting changes to the 504 refis that may open up some opportunities for existing government debt to be refinanced at today's rates, which are at record lows.
And so those rates have been dropping, but a lot of times it's been hard to refinance existing government debt with new government debt. And that is the big change, being able to refinance specifically your existing 504 loan. It appears that we're going to be able to do that. And again, this just got passed, so we're waiting to get more details on it. But being able to refinance that existing loan that could be at 4.5%, 5% down to the current rate of 2.5% over 20 or 25 years for your 504 loan is going to be huge.
Okay, yeah. Well, so for example, if I had $1 million 504 loan or a 7A loan, and as a result of this act, I would be able, let's just say I had a 20-year term on the 504 loan and I was at 5%. Just to show, just to provide the listeners how critical this is, an example, you would get, if you were in year 19 of your loan, you would be able to stretch let's just say year 15 of your loan, you would be able to stretch that back out to a 20 or a 25-year amortization at 2.5%, as opposed to continuing to pay on a 20-year am at 5 or 5.5%. So you've cut your interest liabilities in half, and you're able to stretch, extend out your amortization period on existing government debt.
And that's going to free up your cash flow to get you through this hard times where a lot of businesses are shut down and they can't operate. So being able to refinance that debt will definitely open up your cash flow if it's tight right now, and help you get through this strange time of COVID.
Well, you know, this particular act and this extension is so critical. Later in the show, or maybe we'll jump to it in and out of this important legislative act that's been passed, and this breaking news. When you look at how dire the situation is with particular industries, for instance, what this is going to do, there's going to be PPP money available. They're going to be able to get a lower rate. They're going to have a lot of their payments made on their buildings for a period of time, another 8 months. Just citing an example for it, in the Wall Street Journal today, there's an article, the title of it is Safety Net Phrase as Winter Sets In for Restaurants. Here's some sobering numbers in relation to this CARES Act extension of why that needed to be passed and quickly. For sure, any type of money or goodwill, lifelines that had been extended to restaurants and bars, was running out. The landlords could only do so much. The banks could only do so much. The CARES Act had expired. PPP had expired. And here are some numbers that really bring that home. Since the start of the pandemic, 110 restaurants and bars in the United States have closed permanently. That's 17% of all the restaurants and bars in the continental United States. 17% all are gone, completely gone, and not coming back. Another 6,000 didn't expect to make it the next 6 months. Now, with the passage of the extension of the CARES Act, that mathematic is going to change. Another 6,000 thought that they weren't going to make it. So add that to the 110,000, and we're talking about catastrophic results. As of yesterday, sales in sit-down restaurants and bars were down 24% year over year in the United States. That resulted in 110,000 of them closing. And scarier than that is, and thank goodness for the CARES Act, 7% of all the bars and restaurants in the United States, in addition to the 110,000 that have closed, are currently in default to their lender, close to foreclosure. Just they're on a track to have the switch shut off permanently. These numbers are obviously just so horrible that this act needed to pass in the worst way. To make matters worse, and then we'll go back to the CARES Act, but just looking at how restaurants are going to be impacted by this, this is their lucky penny, this is their four-leaf clover, this is their safety net here. They're able to keep track of gift cards in the United States sold by restaurants. That industry has collapsed. Very few restaurants are selling gift cards. Those are usually purchased in anticipation of using them later in the year. The truth of the matter is most of them are never redeemed, but they do sell them. And gift cards account for 48% of revenue in most restaurants, 40% of revenue for restaurants in the first quarter of their fiscal years just from gift cards. Gift cards aren't being sold because of the COVID-19. People don't know if that restaurant's in the 110,000 that have closed. So, you know, people are so cautious about those cards. Then you go back to this CARES Act, and this is going to be huge. It's going to save a lot of jobs. It's going to save a lot of people. That's why we're spending so much time with us today on the Small Business Answer Show. And before we turn it back over to Will and Jason for some more comments and some more content that's in the CARES Act, We would here at the show would like to personally extend our gratitude to the following people: Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurs under the leadership of Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio played a big part in this. The ranking member of the committee is Ben Cardin. And Nydia Velasquez and ranking member Steve Cabot also played big roles in passing this CARES Act. But Marco Rubio really took the point on that. And Nydia Velasquez has been a real friend of small business over the years. She is out of New York. She's been there since 07. Those people should be commended. And if you get a chance, look them up on the internet and send them a note of thanks. Those people played a huge role in this. So, Will, Jason, comments?
Yeah, I'm glad this got passed, because I was looking at the Wall Street Journal myself, and one article caught my eye. Small businesses hit hard by pandemic are being starved of credit. And you dig in here a little bit, and one line, for example, at JP Morgan and Chase, America's biggest banks by assets, non-PPP loans to small businesses fell to $956 million in the third quarter, which is the lowest level since 2010. So what that tells you is banks are being extremely cautious right now in lending to small businesses, and it is starving them of credit. So the extension of this CARES Act here to these small businesses is really a big lifeline provided by the government to help support small business owners.
Yeah, and we've seen it in the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and their approval numbers. Looking at the 7A program, which is down 30% on the year, I mean, it just goes into what you were saying. The banks have really tightened up their credit and their lending policies, and what the CARES Act is going to do is really help get these funds out to the businesses that need them most.
Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly.
Banks need that incentive.
Yes. Wow. What a huge story for the Small Business Answer Show. Well, we would invite people, as we proceed along during the show, you can call in on our toll-free number, and we'd be happy to step you through the extension of the CARES Act when we have more information, perhaps in the next show. And with that, we are going to move on to some business trends, businesses in the news. We've already talked about restaurants and bars. We know that's catastrophic. We know the CARES Act is going to throw those folks a lifeline to provide some much-needed assistance. Jason, what do you have today?
Well, you know, when I was looking through for some interesting business news, I decided to see if I could try and tie it into Christmas. Christmas is coming up. I don't know if you guys got all your shopping done, but I sure hope so.
No gift cards.
Yeah. I hope you're not waiting on a delivery, because
no,
might be a New Year's delivery. But one of the things I did see was every year there's a price index, and it's tied into the song The 12 Days of Christmas. I'm going to save all our viewers the heartache of listening to me sing it, but,
thank you.
Partridge in a pear tree, two turtle doves.
No, you said you weren't going to do it.
I don't know how they price this out. I don't know if it's on Amazon, but somebody out there tallies it up. What would the song cost? What do you guys think to buy the entire 12 Days of Christmas?
It has been a while since I've sung that song, but I'm going to say 12 Days of Christmas. Let's go with $1,000 a day, $12,000.
Okay. Not a bad mark.
Excuse me. I was thinking, let me cut that one out. I was thinking a little bit more than that. Maybe
$24,000?
Okay. Whoa. That's a big Christmas for you.
Big Christmas.
Well, hey.
I've had a couple of good Christmases.
I need to come over to Christmas at your house.
Well, prior years, you'd be paying a bit more than that.
Really?
Yeah. The pandemic has really affected the 12 Days of Christmas. This year, it would cost you $16,168. Now, that sounds like quite a bit of money. Last year, it would have cost you $38,993. Wow. So it's a steal.
Wow.
Hey. 58% drop.
I wonder what you would think it would have gone up.
Apparently, the people who supply the two turtle doves and the partridge and the pear tree are offering deep discounts this year.
Discounting us.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, what can you infer from this? Tying it back into small businesses, are, you know, inputs, our supplies, our inventory, our widgets costing less this year? Evidently, if you can buy the 12 days of Christmas for, you know, 58% less.
We hope they're not doing a clearance sell from COVID.
Yeah.
To dish out the final inventory before they close.
Uh-huh. Bit of a fire sale.
A COVID fire sale. Oh, my. Well, that's an interesting story. Was that in the Wall Street Journal?
Oh, no, that's an original of mine, my idea. Decided to look that one up. They always post it every year.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. Hey, just a quick note. Do you guys ever, speaking of retailers and fire sales, do you guys ever buy anything at Victoria's Secret? Just asking. I mean, people have. But I'm just saying, I wonder how they're doing this year. Are they even open? Did they close? It's open. Victoria's Secret?
Yeah.
I think so. I think they might have taken bankruptcy at some point. I'll have to check that. But
you know, how would that stuff sell in a pandemic, be my question. Do people just so desperate and so down and out?
People are spending a lot more time at home.
A lot more time at home. Well, an interesting fact, over the last 20, 25 years at the Certified Development Company, when people go bankrupt, we attend what's called a meeting of the creditors. So everybody sits around in a room and they look at what the last several months of the business look like before we go to liquidation. And almost without exception, when we look at the credit card bills and what they spent at the end, there was a purchase that went into their bankruptcy at Victoria's Secret. And as the story goes, when the judge asks them the questions, they say that you could go into the store and you could get a $900, a $1,500 line of credit, no questions asked. So as one of their last acts of credit, purchasing on credit, they purchase, they max out their card that's issued right over the table, and then they file bankruptcy on it. So I was just thinking, have you guys ever done that?
Well, now that we've been working from home, I guess I have increased my underwear purchases because that's my work outfit when I'm sitting there, as opposed to wearing my business casual at the office. I work clothes at home or my underwear. Nobody knows.
Oh, that's funny. Jason, anything else in the news today?
Oh, also tying it back into Santa or into Christmas, the mall Santas are kind of having a rough year this year. Not a lot of people bringing their kids by the mall to sit on Santa's lap. So technology has stepped up and you can now have a Zoom call with Santa.
Oh no.
Now, I know I just said the 12 days of Christmas have gone down in price. Apparently, 1 hour Zoom call with Santa, $750.
Oh my.
That seems a bit steep to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've got a limited window to make money, but
does that include presents? That's just the call.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if people are setting those up for private calls, you know, with a group of kids, but $750.
Whew. Well, that's a full hour with Santa. I remember Santa giving me about 30 seconds, and I would try to rattle off as many gifts as I could. But if I got a full hour, that would have been...
That's quite a laundry list of
That's a big list of gifts for me to cover.
You would have been digging deep.
Now, when you were a young child with Santa, Will, did you, I think I remember one time, did you ask him on your short list for a gun, a bullwhip,
tattoo? Oh, I was known to ask for bad gifts, and they gave me the Christmas story. You're going to shoot your eye out, kid.
That is funny. Very funny. Also in the news, I thought I would bring this to everybody's attention. I was really surprised at the level of franchise activity in the bar and restaurant industry. That relationship now is currently strained as a result of COVID, and then thankfully for the extension of the CARES Act, some of this pressure will go away. But there's a big article in the Wall Street Journal about franchise relationships that are fraying under the pressure of the pandemic. A couple of interesting facts here that just I was not aware of. 78% of all Subway sub sandwiches, not just Subway, but submarine sandwiches are franchises. 82% of all burger joints are franchises. 80% of all chicken restaurants are franchises. 75% of all pizza restaurants are franchises. And then it starts to go down from there. Family dining, less than half. Casual, fast casual, that type of stuff. But by and large, most of the food in the United States is affiliated with a franchise relationship. And the gist of the article is that because sales are way off at those franchises, even the ones that pass through the window, that the franchisor and the franchisees have come to have some conflict there when there's a certain regulations related to COVID, sanitary conditions, or simply price increases or changes in menu, where now the franchisees have now formed a union of sorts to fight back. They formed their own association, and they have their own press releases. And COVID has caused a stress between franchisees and franchisors, which over the years was a wonderful symbiotic relationship that never, they did what they were told, and they were told what they did. And things seemed to work out pretty well. Now they're fighting back. So if you see a disgruntled manager at McDonald's, it could be the tip of the iceberg for a mutiny.
You know, I could see that definitely being the case, because the franchise needs to keep up standards for their food quality and how they serve the food to make sure everything's safe. And oftentimes you'll see some of these food service workers walking around in a hazmat suit, and ultimately the franchisee has to pay for that. And maybe because of the regulations that the franchisor is asking them to do, it's increasing their costs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of these strains are not new, but the pandemic is definitely bringing it to a head. You know, prior to this, a lot of Subway franchises would sort of fight back against some of the promotions that Subway franchise would force upon them. They're going, okay, a $5 sub gets everybody in the door, but we don't make any money on it, and that's on us. You get the benefit of the promotion, increased sales, but our profits are going down. Yeah. And, you know, right now with COVID affecting a lot of people out there, they're looking for deals. They're looking for the low-cost items. And the franchisee, they're hurting from that. They don't make a lot of money off the dollar menu.
Sure, sure. To the phones we go. Cody, our producer, engineer, and phone screener, as it tells me, we have a number of calls waiting. The first caller, Taylor from Cincinnati. Cody, I understand today that you're speaking of COVID vaccines, that your daughter had her first set of shots, baby daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. How loud was the shriek?
I remember. I can hear it echo down the hallway.
Yeah. How did you hold up?
Oh, man. It was pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah. You almost feel like you set them up.
Right.
You bring them in.
They're all real happy and stuff.
Happy and giggly, and you get toys, and everybody's talking real nice. And then it happens.
Yep.
Boom.
Yep, just like that.
What did you do to me? You. To the phones we go. Taylor from Cincinnati, welcome. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I've owned a small drafting and CAD business here in Cincinnati for about the past 5 years. We generate drawings and designs for the heavy highway, general construction industry, and both the public and private sector sometimes over the years. And I've been seeing a lot of growth lately here in our market, and I have a few questions about taking my business to the next level, and I'm hoping I've called the right guys.
Sure.
So right now, I currently lease a building that about 10 people and myself work out of, and I've recently given the opportunity to purchase the building. Now, it needs some upgrades, such as the break room and updating the HVAC system, and I've been hearing on the news a little bit about some of these 504 programs with a lot of the SBA and COVID packages going through. Is a 504 loan right for me? My banker had mentioned something about a SBA 7A loan, and I'm not quite sure where to go from here.
Oh, Taylor, you're at the right place, my man.
You've dialed the right number.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
So a 504 loan is going to be the perfect fit if you're buying this building. It's specifically designed for commercial real estate, which is what you have. And the big difference between a 504 loan and the 7A loan, which your banker might not have mentioned to you, is that the 504 loan, you're going to get a fixed interest rate on your SBA portion for either 20 or 25 years. So the interest rate right now is at 2.5%. And that's going to be fixed for either 20 or 25 years, whatever you decide is best for you. So how much is this building that you're looking to purchase?
So the building itself is coming in evenly right at about $1 million.
Okay. Okay, that'll work. So you've owned the business for about 5 years, like you said, and you have some employees. I think we'll be able to get you down for a 50-40-10 split on this building because it's not a special use. And what I mean by 50-40-10 is the bank will do 50% of the loan. NEDCO will do 40%. And then you will kick in your 10% equity injection, which on this case, if you have a purchase agreement for $1 million, it's going to be a $100,000 down payment. Critical. Do you have that 10% down payment available to get the 504 loan started?
You know, I've been saving up for a couple of years now for something like this, and I've got about $75,000 set aside. And I'm thinking about asking a close family member for the extra $25,000 to get up to that $100,000 goal. Is that something that is okay? Is that within the realm of reason?
Yeah, this is Jason here. I'll jump in on that one. Yeah, family gifts, those are allowable in the SBA lending world to use as the equity injection. SBA will be a little curious. They'll want to know, you know, is this truly a gift or is there some sort of repayment terms? And we can usually satisfy that with a gift letter. Just a quick, short letter from the gift provider, you know, just stating, hey, this truly is a gift. You know, family member who really likes you, or maybe they don't like you quite so much and they want repaid back. Both can work, but the gift letter will cover that, and that can definitely help get you to that 10% down.
This must be a generous family member to either be gifting you or loaning you $25,000. I've asked Scott for that a couple times. It was a no-go.
Scott likes to get repaid.
Right. Well, and the interest rate was 13, 14%, so probably better off. Well, let's talk about to Taylor and Jason about the interest rate environment we're in now, and the advantage. And you're going to be able to go 25 years at a pretty low rate, Taylor.
Yeah,
it's huge.
So we'll be able to get you in at 2.5% on either 20 or 25 years for that loan. And then I'm not sure how much you've been following the news, but this is breaking just recent as of last night. So the CARES Act was extended. The big thing that makes the news, it was the first time around, everybody got the $1,200 free payments directly distributed, and this time it'll be $600. Not a whole lot to individuals, but to small business owners like yourself, if we get this loan through and approved, so it's a straight purchase and essentially no construction going on besides HVAC and break room, so this shouldn't take too long. If we get this loan funded by the end of September 2021, Taylor, you're going to get 6 months of free payments made on this loan on the SBA portion by the government.
What?
Yeah. Wow. And the important thing there is these are not deferred payments. Deferred payments just get kicked to the end of the loan. You still have to pay them. These are completely paid on your behalf, as if somebody just showed up, opened up their wallet, and made the payment for you. So it doesn't get kicked to the end of the loan like a deferred payment. And then the other interesting thing in that CARES Act 2.0 is you might be looking at about 2% lower fees than previously. So that's going to affect your loan as well.
Just out of curiosity, how much is your current lease payment, if you don't mind me asking, for the building?
Currently, we're forking over about $1,200 a month just for the payment before we get into utilities or anything like that.
$1,200?
Oh, excuse me, $12,000. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. That makes more sorry sense. On a million-dollar building, that would have been a deal.
Right.
Yeah, just keep renting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's free.
Not much of a morning person, so.
Yeah, Doe just missed a zero there. That would have been all right.
No but big deal.
If your lease payment is $12,000, I have here on my loan calculator, if we get you in on the 25-year note, which is fixed at 2.5%, and depending on what interest rate you got from your bank, I'm thinking we're going to be able to lower your monthly payment from that $12,000 that you currently have to about $10,000 or $10,500. So it looks like purchasing the building is going to be a better option for you than leasing with this low interest rate that the 504 loan program provides.
So it looks like maybe $24,000, $25,000, possibly $30,000 in savings every year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and you're talking, look, in a 10-year time period, you're talking $300,000, right? In Taylor's pocket.
I could think of a lot of stuff to do with that money that could be put to good use for the company.
Well, this family member that you're going to borrow the down payment from is going to get paid back pretty quick between the savings from the interest rate and those free 6 months of payments that you'll get from the SBA. So this is going to be a good deal for you.
Yeah, it sounds like I picked the perfect time to start looking into this here.
All righty. Well, hey, thank you for calling in, Taylor. We appreciate it. We're going to go ahead and go to our next phone call.
Taylor, good luck with your business. Thanks for calling in and have a Merry Christmas there in Cincinnati.
Hey, you as well. And thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep. Thank you. The next segment of the show we call Crazy Credits. These are credits that we've seen that have been presented to us by phone call, by email, by smoke signal, by telegraph, or that we've just read about and that we've heard about. There's a section that brings a lot of fun to the show. Some of them are just darn right hilarious. And we'll start the show today with Will's going to go over a few of the pork barrel oddity fundings that appeared in the COVID, in the CARES Act extension. As always, there's some pork that's attached to those, and some of these are pretty strange. Jason has a goat mowing story, application, a goat mowing business.
Yeah, popular thing out there.
Let's do the goats before we do the COVID pork. I got to hear this.
So, well employed in pandemic times, from the Wall Street Journal. Well employed in pandemic times, landscaping goats.
Oh, God.
Jason.
Oh, no.
You live outside of town. How big is your property, roughly?
I got 15 acres.
Hey, 15 acres. Well, landscaping goats, called goatscaping, has taken off since the pandemic has started. It's an environmentally friendly way to clear overgrown lots by hiring goats to come and clear the weeds out. Renting 5 goats might cost about $500 for a week. Do you think that's something you're interested in on your 15 acres?
Wow.
Ooh. If it was overgrown, I'd definitely pull the trigger on that.
Okay.
Wow. Now, do you think, would COVIDs be affected by the COVID-19 shutdowns when they shut down businesses and everything? Could a goat continue to mow, eat the grass during a shutdown? Would they be affected by that?
Yeah, I don't know if goats are affected by employment laws,
The other question I would have is, can you catch the COVID-19 from a goat? Well, last week we found out you could get the COVID from a mink. Had to cull the entire herd. Are we looking at the possible transmission of COVID-19 from a goat to a human and have to cull the herd of goats as well? I mean, what in
the world? That could be devastating to business.
That would be a...
Thank goodness for Noah's Ark.
That would be bad for Larry Chinnick, quoted in this article, who has 180 goats in Rhinebeck, New York that he rents out at $180 per week to mow your lawn. Larry calls his goats like a lawnmower, but a four-legged weed whacker instead.
Yeah,
a lawn mowing goat.
It sounds crazy, but Google employs a herd of about 200 goats.
You're kidding.
No, keeps our campus clean.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's low carbon. Other than landmines, I don't know how they account for those.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they keep it clean. These goats are a mess.
What about the goat waste?
I don't know.
And then how do you make sure they don't eat it too low or leave it too high? Is there a way to set their teeth?
Supposedly, the goats prefer the weeds.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, they go for those first.
They're yummy.
Apparently.
More flavor.
They do a better job than the sheep. The sheep like the grass first. So, when you're looking to hire, you want a quality goat. The other thing is, it takes less goats per acre than sheep.
Oh, always looking for a level of efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now this is a disturbing theme here at the Small Business Answer Show. Now we've seen some wacky stuff with shrimp, cats, minks, goats. What's next? What is next?
My goodness. Jeez.
What? Oh boy.
Well, people love their animals.
People love their animals.
Thank you for joining us on the Small Business Answer Show, where we get your small business questions answered. Please join us next week so we can help you out.